Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah. Yeah!
Welcome to another edition of Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini, alongside Travis Anderson, who's back in the studio with us today. Middle of the week, the eve of opening day for Major League Baseball. We're going to have some baseball talk for you. Next segment, we're going to be joined by a great friend of mine, Steve Bordstein of Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico. Steve's a big baseball guy. We're going to talk a little AL, and we'll throw in some NL talk as well as we gear up for tomorrow. A lot of exciting matchups, a lot of interesting matchups. So that's coming up on the show today. Also, we're going to catch up with Cody Bunderson of Fierce MMA and Fitness. A lot of great stuff going on at Fierce MMA and Fitness, including kids' classes. We're going to talk to Cody. He's also going to bring in a special guest as well to talk a little bit about what they have to offer. So I'm looking forward to that. That's what's on deck on the show today. Travis, with all that being said, we can talk NBA basketball for a moment. The big headline out of the NBA does not affect anything as far as the playoff seeding goes or the standings go. But Isaiah Thomas, IT, who was traded from Boston to Cleveland to LA, is having a hip procedure which ends his season. And the Lakers, maybe they will, maybe they won't bring him back next year. Is this it for IT? I mean, is he done?
Anytime you have a lingering hip problem like the one that he has, I would say he's done because it's just something that you can't recover from. And for a guy like IT who likes to drive to the basket, who likes to pull up on those jumpers, I don't think it's going to work out. And I don't think the Lakers bring him back.
You know what's sad is that this guy was fourth in the MVP voting just two seasons ago.
Right up there with all LeBron.
It was actually last season. It was last season. It wasn't two seasons ago. It was last season. Yeah, he was up there in the top four. Nearly averaged 30 points a game. Thought he was going to get a massive payday, and then this injury took place, and that was kind of the end of it. And that's what's so sad. A guy that was the last pick in the NBA draft was so close to getting a max deal. And if it wasn't Boston giving him a max deal, somebody was going to. He was going to get a payday. I think it's probably a one-year show-me deal with the Lakers next season. I think that's probably his best option. I'll be honest, I watched IT play a lot of basketball in LA this year. I liked it. I actually thought it fit. This Laker team may look completely different next season. But is he going to get paid this offseason? No, he's not going to get paid now. And he's going to have to take a show-me deal, or he's going to have to sign a mid-level contract with a contending team that has some cap space. That's tough to do at this stage in the game as well. I feel for IT. I really do.
Yeah, for a guy that did everything for Boston, he was the typical Celtic guy. He embraced the franchise and had the Celtics up there towards the top. And with that injury, they just couldn't recover. And this year, 15 points per game, 5 assists, and you could just tell he just wasn't the same, 37% shooting. And it stinks for a guy like that.
We'll move on and talk NFL football. This is something I wanted to dissect a little bit more later on in the show. The New York Giants really are exploring the idea of trading Odell Beckham Jr. It's a very real conversation. When it broke on Twitter, you thought, okay, maybe it's just a rumor that's lingering. Now, the team is actually accepting offers for Odell Beckham. He may be done in New York.
Well, they're in a rebuild, so it makes sense. And if you're the Giants, you explore those options. And then when there's an offer on the table, you take the best offer on the table because you can't overpay for Odell Beckham when it just doesn't make sense to keep him when you're in a rebuild.
Now, the team says they are not actively shopping Odell Beckham. This is according to Adam Schefter of ESPN. But he did report that they are asking for two first-round picks in return. And so, to me, look, that there are teams in the league with his $8 million contract and the way the franchise tag works, you could franchise tag him over the next 2 years. Somebody should bite on that and give up two first-round picks for Odell. I think it happens. Yesterday, I didn't think Odell would start the season with the Giants. Or I thought he would start the season with the Giants, excuse me. I'm starting to think maybe not. maybe this guy has a new home by the time the season begins, because if all it's going to take is two first-round draft picks with his rookie-friendly contract and then the franchise tag situations, I honestly think this guy's on his way out.
Yeah, and I think the Rams and the Browns are two teams that are probably in the mix.
The Browns make the most sense.
The Played Browns with Jarvis Landry at LSU.
That makes the most sense. Too many, you know, the Rams, yeah, the Rams would be dynamic. I mean, this is an LA story taking shape. Could you really pull off this move too in the offseason? It seems unlikely to me. It seems unrealistic. But look, they're not afraid to trade high picks for guys in the final year of their rookie deal. Look what happened with Sammy Watkins. They traded a second round pick there. Look at what they did to go get Jared Goff. They traded a first round pick to get Goff. So, I mean, the Rams have definitely been making moves. But to me, Cleveland and the Rams have both made a lot of trades this offseason. The Rams have just been for guys that can help them win right now. I don't know if they have another trade in them to pull off an Odell Beckham deal. I really don't. The Browns, though, that makes sense.
Like we talked about earlier in the week, that window to win a Super Bowl, it's a very short window. So for a team like the Rams, who have already went all in, you might as well go all in on Odell, get him to that offense.
Let's move over to the NBA, take a look at the schedule. Tonight, we have some very important games, including the Utah Jazz. They return to the court to take on the Boston Celtics. Start time for that game is 7:30 right here on KOAL. 7:20, David Locke and Ron Boone will bring you the play-by-play call. 5 o'clock hour, we get Cleveland at Charlotte, Brooklyn at Orlando, and New York at Philly. You know, former Jazz man Trey Burke, he dropped 42 the other night. 6 o'clock hour, we get Portland at Memphis, Atlanta at Minnesota. 8 o'clock hour, two games tonight, the Clippers and the Suns. The Clippers are still fighting for their playoff lives. The Lakers and the Mavericks in the nightcap, two teams that have been eliminated from playoff contention. We're going to break for just a moment. When we return, we'll talk some Major League Baseball with our good friend Steve Bordstein. It's a Wednesday edition of the show here on KOAL, 107.3 FM and 750 AM. Reporting from the KOAL newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. And last night on the high school baseball diamond, the Carbon Dinos earned a 4-3 victory over Salem Hills in extra innings. This took place in Helper at the American Legion baseball field. Anthony Jones walked in the winning run in extra innings to give Carbon the one-point victory. In a contest that was neck and neck throughout, the Dinos took an early 2-0 lead, but Salem Hills slowly chipped away. The offense came at a premium for both teams. Carbon finished with 8 hits in the contest, 2 of which came from Cody Lowe, who finished 2 of 3 at the plate. Zach Bradley, who has been a cornerstone for Carbon all season long, finished 1 of 3 and also knocked a double, while Nate Olson continued his stellar at-bats. He finished 1 of 4 with a double and an RBI. Zach Bradley also recorded the win on the hill. He pitched a solid 6 innings for Carbon, allowing just 1 earned run and 6 hits, while also striking out 6. Jaden Robertson pitched 2 innings. He allowed just 1 hit, no earned runs, while striking out 3. Now the Dinos will continue non-league action this afternoon as they play host to the Emory Spartans. This will be the first and only meeting of the season between the two varsity squads. Start time is set for 3:30 p.m. This will also be the last game of the week for Carbon, as they will then head into spring break before resuming region action next week. Now, speaking of Emory High School, the Spartans managed to snap a 3-game losing skid in Region 15 play as they earned a big 10-6 victory over the San Juan Broncos yesterday afternoon. This game was played in Castle Dale. Coda Alton hit a double for Emory in the victory over San Juan. And again, that improves Emory now to 2-3 in region play. After starting the region season with a victory over Grand, Emory had lost 3 consecutive games, 1 to Grand and 2 to South Sevier. Now again, Emory will be in action today as they take on the Carbon Dinos in Helper. Following today's contest, Emory will get 1 day off before returning to the field on Friday to take on San Juan in the second and final meeting between the two squads this season. We move over to softball, and yesterday the Carbon Lady Dinos suffered a heartbreaking 5-4 setback to the Union Cougars. This contest was on the road for Carbon. It was a game that was neck and neck throughout. Carbon took a 3-1 lead going into the seventh inning, but Union scored 3 as Carbon scored 1 in the seventh to force extra innings, and then Union scored 1 run on the bottom of the eighth. Despite the loss, the Lady Dinos got solid production from multiple individuals, including Kelsey Sorensen, who finished with 2 hits in the contest. As a team, Carbon finished with 11 hits compared to Union's 9. Now, the Lady Dinos will take the remainder of the week off as they enjoy spring break. They'll return with region action. That'll take place next Tuesday. We stick with softball, but we move over to Emory High. And last night, the Lady Spartans suffered a 16-0 loss to the San Juan Broncos. This contest was in Blanding, and it did not work out well for the Lady Spartans. This is fresh off of a 22-12 win over South Sevier. That contest took place last Friday. With this loss, Emory dips to 2-2 in region play, which puts them in a tie for third place with South Sevier. Again, the Lady Spartans are now going to take a day off. They'll return to the field on Friday. They'll take on San Juan. This contest will be at home, and it will wrap up the season series set with the Broncos. We move over to the national sports scene, and tonight the Utah Jazz will embark on a huge contest as they play host to the Boston Celtics, beginning at 7:20 on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. As it sits right now, the Utah Jazz are tied with the Minnesota Timberwolves for 7th in the Western Conference, but they lead the Los Angeles Clippers and the Denver Nuggets by just 2 games for a final playoff spot in the Western Conference. Following tonight's contest, the Jazz will then partake in the final 7 games of the regular season. Utah will be favored in most of these games, but it will be a tight race with the Clippers. Stay tuned to Castle Country Radio, including KOAL's Drive Time Sports, as we'll talk about the Utah Jazz and continue to cover this playoff race. Reporting, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
Live from the KOAL newsroom in Price, Utah, it's Drive Time Sports on 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
Take that for data.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. We are on the eve of opening day for Major League Baseball. It's crazy how fast the time goes by. Seems like just yesterday we were talking to our good friend Steve Bordstein about pitchers and catchers reporting in 60 days. Now we're gearing up for the first pitch of the 2018 season tomorrow. In fact, we have Steve Bordstein joining us once again to talk baseball. He joined us last week. We went into an in-depth conversation of the National League. Now we'll flip it, talk a little AL and some National League, of course, today as well. Steve, a pleasure as always. Thank you.
Pleasure to be with you. We are just a few hours away from Cubs versus Marlins to kick off the season.
It's crazy how fast the time has gone by. I'm definitely not going to complain. I'll tell you, this is one of the most anticipated Major League Baseball seasons I have personally had in quite some time, with the way 2017-2018 season came to a close. But you and I have talked about that numerous amounts of times. We don't need to rehash that. Last week we talked National League, and we talked a lot of it, so I want to talk about the AL, and right off the bat I'm going to ask this question. The Astros are by far the favorites to win the American League, right? I mean, even though the Yankees were sexy during the offseason, Brian Cashman went out, grabbed Stanton, they've built a different way over the last 3 or 4 years, still, it goes through Houston, right?
Don't know about that.
Really?
They're the same team, so if you just go by that, yes. I'm not throwing out the Cleveland Indians. I'm just not. I mean, they had 102 wins last year. Think about that for a second. I know that for the Astros, they're the sexy pick. They brought back everybody. They're good. That rotation in Cleveland, though, is so good. And, I mean, unless the offense there just absolutely doesn't do anything. You look at Bradley Zimmer, you look at Michael Brantley, Jason Kipnis. Those are good players over there, and I don't think they make the same mistakes that they made against the New York Yankees in the postseason. So I think the Cleveland Indians are still going to be a factor there. Obviously, you look at the Yankees, you look at the Astros. Look, that rotation is solid. If Correa stays healthy, you know, remember he missed 6 weeks due to a thumb injury last year. If they stay healthy, they're the team to beat. But I'm not throwing out the Cleveland Indians just yet.
I think it's simple with Cleveland. They had so many players that I don't want to say played above their level, but let's be honest. I mean, Ramirez was fantastic. Jose Ramirez was unbelievable last season. And then you take a look at someone like Edwin Encarnacion. The problem I have with Cleveland is the rotation is so good, but what caught up with Cleveland last year was the injuries.
Right.
When Kluber pitched through a back issue, he was ineffective, and the Yankees took control in the ALDS. Also, this was a big topic. I talked about this a lot last year, and I really don't want to hold anything against the Indians, but when they played amazing baseball, what did they win? 23 in a row, 22 in a row? I can't even remember. How many games in a row did they win?
23
in a row. They were beating, and I know you still have to win the games, but Steve, they only beat like 3 teams that were a playoff squad. So I think the record last year for Cleveland, and I know you got to win the games, but at the same time, To me, it was a little bit bloated, if that makes sense.
No, it does. And I think you see that in all sports. I think people make too big a deal out of win streaks in the middle part of the season. I need you to play well in October. You need to go into the postseason playing well. But you don't need to do it. You don't need to win 30 games in a row or whatever. A win streak in any sport. NBA with the Houston Rockets, their big 20-game win streak, whatever it was. That's great. Do it in May. You know, let me know how you're doing in May. Same thing with Major League Baseball. A 23-game win streak in July is great, but if you're gonna crap out in the playoffs, doesn't do you any good.
Let's talk about the Yankees here for a moment, because as far as getting back into contention, I think the Yankees played above their level last year. I remember having a conversation with you. I think you and I both thought the Yankees were dead in the water right after the trade deadline. I mean, they made the move for Gray. I didn't know if it was going to work out for the Yankees or not. There were the problems with Severino and everything that the Yankees were going through, yet this offseason, it's paying dividends that they built up that farm system. They were able to make a couple of offseason moves that were mind-numbing. Still, I have the Yankees probably second or third in the American League, as crazy as that sounds. But they still have a superstar-led 40-man roster.
They do, and you know, but they have, and them and the Red Sox are similar in one regard, and that's a new manager. Mm-hmm. And to me, we saw it with the Dodgers. It took Dave Roberts a year to kind of get used to the personalities. Now, Aaron Boone has a little bit of an advantage in that he knows these players from his time in the broadcast booth. But as we've seen in other sports, people who go from the broadcast booth to a front office position, that doesn't always work out. And I'm concerned about the Yankees. Look, they're going to hit a ton of home runs. They are. They're going to strike out a ton. They just are, by the very nature of the fact that they're a bunch of home run hitters. So then you're now relying on your bullpen. You're relying on your starting pitching. That's an issue for me because the Yankees have none of that. CC Sabathia, and that's about it. The rest of that rotation is average at best. I look at the Red Sox. I think the Red Sox win that division again. Any team can be torpedoed by injuries. That's easy. But if Hanley Ramirez, who, you know, was one of the worst players in the majors last year as far as, you know, the stupid analytics, whatever. I'm looking at David Price. If David Price and Chris Sale go out 1-2, they're going to win that division, and I think they're going to win it comfortably. Because, again, the Yankees are such a make-and-break team that I think the Red Sox will run away with that division at the end.
I would agree with you in the sense that if you have a healthy David Price and a healthy Chris Sale, it is the most, to me, it's the most devastating 1-2 punch in the bigs right now.
Agreed. And the question will be with Chris Sale. We know he's got injury issues. Same with David Price. He gets in his head. If those two stay healthy, that's the best 1-2 combination in the American League.
I agree with you 100%. One of the teams I want to get your opinion on, the Anaheim Angels. Now, to me, this is the best defensive team in baseball. I don't think there's any debate about that. Everyone was talking about Shohei Ohtani, and is this kid going to be the real deal, and what he can actually contribute from the DH spot. That move alone overshadowed what was a very, very productive offseason for the Angels, and I think they've catapulted into a serious playoff contention. They're not going to win the division, but this is definitely a wild card team that you have to pay attention to.
Well, I mean, you got Simmons, Cozart, Kinsler, Maldonado, best defensive team, you said it, in the majors. If Mike Trout has the numbers that we know he can have, you know, they're a major player. But the guy, obviously, is going to be Ohtani. What kind of season does he have? I don't think you can count on him to be a 25-start guy. I don't think that's how this is going to go. I think he's a better hitter. I think he'll prove to be a better hitter. He'll be okay as a pitcher. And I think the Angels know that secretly, like behind the scenes. I think they're counting on him to be a bigger player, you know, on the field offensively than as a regular everyday pitcher. I don't think that's going to be the case. But this goes back to injuries and everything else. That defense right there is incredible. So again, you're counting on Mike Trout. He had injuries, obviously. If Ohtani's the real deal, and the six man rotation that they have, which again, that's another thing too, is they're going to put a six man rotation out there. So now you sort of slow down the amount of starts that a pitcher's going to have. That could help them down the road if they can stay away from the injury bug. But again, defensively, they're very good. They're going to give the Astros a run. Again, I don't think they'll win that division, but I think they'll make a run.
Well, the six-man rotation, I have to believe it's going to be down to five relatively soon, because Garrett Richards has pitched, he's played in six games two consecutive years. And the reason why, you know, and the reason I'm going to use this as a track record, because if you go back to 2012, he played in 30 games. Then he played in 47 games. Then he played in 26 games. Then he started 32 games. Since he started 32 games back in 2015, he pitched six games in 2016, six games in 2017. That six-man rotation to me will be down to a five-man rotation, I think, relatively soon.
Could very well be. That could be their downfall.
Absolutely. Definitely. Again, we're being joined right now by Steve Bortstein, the host of First Sports on Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico. We'll talk about that show in just a moment. Steve, as far as opening weekend goes, I know you're like me. The most anticipated game is definitely the Dodgers and the Giants tomorrow night. But is there a particular series that you were most interested by going into opening weekend? One that stands out to you, aside from the Dodgers and Giants?
Yeah, no, there is one, and you and I were talking about this off the air, the Milwaukee Brewers-San Diego Padres series. San Diego's going to be sneaky good under the radar this year. I don't think they're going to win the division, but they're sneaky good. And this Milwaukee Brewers team, watch this, because I don't think Cubs fans are ready for a season-long battle. Cubs fans are kind of, especially the last couple of years now, they've been living high on the hog. Like, no one's challenging them in that division. They're going to go on to the National League Championship Series. Be careful, because this Milwaukee Brewers team is loaded, and this is going to be a very interesting opening series here. I love Chase Anderson for the Brewers. San Diego's biggest problem is going to be, again, the depth of their pitching staff. That's going to be an issue for every team. We know that going in. But I like what this Brewers team is doing, so I'll be curious to see who gets the first kind of jump on that series a little bit. It's in San Diego, so you got to favor them a little bit in that regard. But this is going to be a fun series to watch, and I think you'll get a good indication of which direction both those teams are going from the get-go.
In this series, pay attention to the outfield, because both have a four-man outfield, okay? If you look at San Diego, I love Manuel Margot. This kid is going to be a very good player, I think, for many years. Plus, you have Will Myers, you have Jose Perea, you also have Hunter Renfroe, who is looking to become an everyday player. On the flip side of that, Milwaukee, they have Christian Yelich, they have Lorenzo Cain, they have Domingo Santana, and of course, they have Ryan Braun. I love the outfield in this series, so I'm glad you bring this one up.
And if I can give you one other, the Cardinals-Mets series. And I know that there's probably people out there going, wow, you're just talking about the National League again and all these great series. I'm a National League guy. I'm sorry. I know there's another league out there, but they use DHs and they play a different brand of baseball, so I don't care about them. So the Carlos Martinez-Noah Syndergaard matchup in this Mets-Cardinals series. The Mets are going to be very competitive. I don't know if they're going to be good enough to beat the Washington Nationals in the National League East, but that rotation, Syndergaard, DeGrom, that's a good, healthy rotation right there. They've got power. Cespedes is going to contribute a lot for this team. They're going to be a fun team to watch this year as well.
All right, Steve, we got to go ahead and give our predictions that are sure to go wrong. I know it's only March, but I'll go ahead and throw out my prediction right now, and I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm going to say in the NL, we get the Dodgers and the Brewers in the NLCS. Dodgers get the win. They go to the World Series. On the flip side, I think we have a rematch. I'm going to go ahead and say it's Cleveland-Houston in the ALCS, and it's Houston-Dodgers once again in the World Series, and I'd like the Dodgers to come out on top if we get a rematch. I want your predictions on what's going to happen, AL-NLCS and your World Series champ.
Well, from your lips to God's ears on the Dodgers winning the World Series, because I know you didn't say it earlier, but I'll say it. Where are you, Darvish, away from winning a World Series in 2017? So I went a little different direction. I published my selections on our station's website. We'll talk about that in a second here. So here's my division winners: NL West Dodgers, NL Central Cubs, NL East Nationals. Wild cards are Brewers and Cardinals. American League, I got the West going to the Astros, the Central going to the Indians, the East going to the Red Sox. Wild cards are the Yankees and the Minnesota Twins. Keep an eye on the Twins this year. World Series, Dodgers-Indians.
Okay, so you think the World Series champs do not make it back to the grand stage?
No, the World Series champions do not get back. Dodgers-Indians for the World Series. Dodgers win in six.
Okay, so I like that you go through...
And then I can retire a happy man. Yeah.
I'm glad you go through and you talk about the divisions. I guess we can scheme over this quickly. But if I look at it, in the AL East, I think, is wide open. The Central, to me, it's kind of a no-brainer. The Indians are actually going to win that division. I think it's a no-brainer. Then you look at the West, I think Houston wins that division. So the East is typically the most compelling division in the American League. And I think front to back, Steve, it will be again this year.
I agree. I think the Red Sox win that division, and I don't think it's close. I don't. I know that everyone's high on the Yankees. With that lineup, how could you not be? But again, they're going to score a lot of runs, they're going to strike out a ton of times, and they've got no depth at that starting position, at the starting pitcher.
And then I think in the NL, I think you have the Nationals and the Dodgers. They're a lock in their divisions. But then that Central is going to be interesting between the Cubs, Brewers, and Cardinals. It was last season. I think it is again this year.
Right, and it only became a race right towards the end, right? The Cubs were kind of coasting in, and the Brewers made that big run, which I think they'll do again, which is fine. But I think this time the Brewers put all the pressure on them early, and they stay around for a lot longer than maybe people were even thinking they might be.
Steve Bordstein, he's the host of First Sports on Fox Sports 1340 AM in New Mexico. Steve, let the listeners know where they can find your work.
Well, I'll be off the next couple of days, so we'll be back on Monday. But I do two shows. First, Sports in the Morning. It airs 9 a.m. to noon Eastern, which is 7 to 10 a.m. Mountain Time, on Fox, AM 1340, 93.9 FM. We're based out of Farmington, New Mexico. You can catch the show either live here in the Four Corners region or online through the iHeartRadio app. Download the iHeartRadio app and just go to foxsports1340.com. You can hear the show live every weekday morning from 7 to 10 a.m. I also host a horse racing show. We are now just a little more than five weeks out now from the Kentucky Derby, so we're very excited about all the preparations that are going on right now. The Fast Track, nationally syndicated horse racing show, airs every Saturday and Sunday morning at 8 a.m. Mountain Time. That's 10 a.m. Eastern. And again, it's also available online at foxsports1340.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at fox1340am.
Steve Bordstein, definitely a pleasure to get you on. Thank you so much for the time. Enjoy the next couple of days off, and go Dodgers.
Go Dodgers. Let's get it done.
We've got a break for just a moment. We have more Drive Time Sports coming up when we return here on KOAL, 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL, AM 750. The play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
Time to talk some local sports here on this Wednesday edition of the show. We're going to bring in a great friend of mine, Cody Bunderson, owner of Fierce Fighting Championship. They just recently had a show here locally that was a huge success. But Cody is also the owner of Fierce MMA and Fitness. Absolutely spectacular what they have going on down there right now. We have two guests joining us in the studio for this segment to talk to you about children and how they fit in to Fierce MMA and Fitness. Cody, I always look forward to it, man. Thank you again for stopping by.
Yeah, for sure, Jordan. Love being here.
Let's talk about Fierce MMA and Fitness. I know you were just in here a little while ago. We were talking about Fierce Fighting Championship and your guys' latest card in the promotion, but there's so much more to what you do here locally, especially in the fight game as far as training. And you know, we bring in some of the guys that you have trained and some of the guys that you have coached, but today we're going to focus on kids.
Yes, sir. We have a great kids program going down there, you know, starting down there as early as age 5 and all the way up to the teenagers, and we're, you know, competing, we're, you know, teaching these kids discipline, we're teaching them, you know, self-respect, and I love it. That's truly my passion down there, is teaching the kids.
Yeah, you've told me that several times. I mean, that is your passion, making sure that the kids, A, gain some confidence, B, live a healthy lifestyle, and at the same time, you're having fun. That's what's so unique about what it is you do. I mean, you're teaching these kids how to be healthy. You're teaching them discipline and confidence, but at the same time, they're having fun doing
it. Yeah, definitely. You know, you have to be, if you're not having fun, then you shouldn't be doing it. And I have fun every day that I teach the kids, and I believe every one of those kids in there have fun every single day, too.
Tell me about the we'll start with the 5-year-olds. That's young.
Yeah.
So what do you do with 5-year-olds? How do you get them involved and get them in the right track, going on the right track?
It's fundamentals, you know, just teaching them basics from the get-go while still incorporating it, you know, making games out of certain things, and just teaching them very basic stuff so that when they do come up into either the second class or as they get older, they already have such a good, you know, fundamental basis for, you know, whether it's kickboxing or whether they're jujitsu. You know, they have, you know, 4 or 5 just very basic moves, but, you know, moves that'll, you know, carry you all the way to the highest levels as a black belt. So, you know, just instilling the basics for these kids and making it fun.
Now, once you get past 5 years old, what seems to be the age where the kids go beyond fundamentals? Is there a specific age that...
Yeah, I mean, some of the kids, you know, it's kind of crazy to see how even some of the, you know, even 5, 6, 7-year-olds, you know, how quickly some of them can pick it up. You know, we had We took 8 kids up to a jiu-jitsu tournament last weekend. And, you know, we had some 5- and 6-year-olds competing that walked away with some gold medals. So, you know, we took 8 kids. We had 9 first-place finishes, 9 second-place finishes, and 1 third-place finish. So, you know, Fierce MMA, we definitely represented ourselves very well in the state last weekend.
I'm sure it's a hoot to see a 6-year-old compete in something like this,
yeah,
isn't
it?
Yeah,
it's fun. Yeah, it's really fun. You know, they're... you know, they're, you see them going for the moves that you've shown them, but also to see, you know, kind of the heart that they displayed too, to, you know, go out and kind of lay it all there on the line, and you see the emotions that, you know, get involved with the competition, and it really pushes these kids like to another level when they step in that competition, and, you know, to see the smiles on their face whether they win or lose, it's pretty cool.
You're a coach. You get to coach adults. You get to coach kids. Has there ever been a time where you've thought, I wish this adult listen to me the way this 5-year-old or 6-year-old
every
kid does.
Single day,
okay.
Every single day, you know, I could smack some of my adults in the head, but it's fun. You know, this these kids, this next generation that's coming up, man, we have some kids out there that are real special. All those kids out there are special, but there's some, you know, that you can just see that from a competition standpoint, how good some of these kids have the potential to be.
I think some of the other cool aspect of this, Cody, is each kid finds their own niche. They find what they like, and it's not just jiu-jitsu. I mean, it's kickboxing, it's boxing,
yeah,
it's wrestling. I mean,
yeah,
it's everything,
for sure.
Right?
Yeah, for sure. You know, they're getting the full arsenal of mixed martial arts, which from a self-defense standpoint, you know, these kids can handle themselves on the feet. You know, if a fight gets taken to the ground, you know, they're comfortable anywhere through our program. Again, you know, we're not advocating fighting or violence or anything like that, but we do advocate to them that, you know, if someone's laying harm on them, that they will be able, that they should stand up for themselves. And I think that's kind of a problem that we see nowadays. Is, you know, even in the school systems, you know, it's like, you know, if someone lays a hand on you, you touch them, you're going to get in trouble. But, you know, in my mind, my opinion is, you know, someone lays a hand on you and is trying to, you know, inflict a violence or, you know, some sort of threat to you, that you should be able to stand up for yourselves. And we preach these to our kids. And again, we're not advocating violence or anything like that, but we do want them to stand up for themselves, especially in bullying situations.
You and I have had this conversation in the past. Mixed martial arts has evolved, and I believe it's evolved to the point to where it is mainstream now. What I mean by mainstream is, for a while, I think MMA had violence attached to it, where karate didn't necessarily have violence,
right,
attached to it. I don't think MMA is that. I don't think it's in that world anymore.
No. It's so mainstream now. Like, everybody, you know, you say UFC, everybody knows who that is. And it's kind of funny because people, when they think UFC, they think it's like an actual martial art. UFC, you know, oh, you,
yeah,
train UFC. No, it's mixed martial arts. You know, you're training in multiple disciplines to become, you know, the best martial artist that you can be from, you know, every aspect of it. You know, whether you're someone's trying to punch you in the face or someone's trying to take you down to the ground from a wrestling standpoint, or trying to, you know, submit you or choke you with your jiu-jitsu. So you have to be evolved and well-rounded in all aspects, especially in the mixed martial arts game.
Now, you have brought along a parent with you today. We're going to bring in Mandy Peterson, who has 2 kids that you teach, correct?
Yeah, she has 2 kids that's been with us for over a year now. You know, I love both the boys to death. They're both great kids. They both work their butts off, and it truly is an honor to be able to teach both those kids.
Mandy, it's a pleasure to get you in today as well, so thank you for stopping by.
Yeah, glad to be here.
Okay, let's talk about, first off, why you decided to enroll your kids at Fierce MMA and Fitness. So what was it about it that said, okay, you know what, I'm going to let the boys try this?
Well, Kason just kept asking, he wanted to box and box and box, and I didn't know why, but there were some kids at his school that were starting to give him some trouble. So I know Cody, long time, he went to school with my brother. So I contacted him because I knew he did classes. So first we started out with Kason doing boxing, and then my younger son Cal wanted to try it. So he started doing the kickboxing, and he liked the kickboxing, and then he started doing jiu-jitsu and just loves it.
So what are some of the changes that you've seen in your kids since they've been enrolled and they've worked with Cody at Fierce MMA and Fitness?
They're definitely both more confident. And as a mom, I feel better knowing they have the skills that they need to not get bullied, you know. If something happened, they would know how to take care of themselves.
And at the same time, I'm sure they're in much better shape.
Oh, definitely, yeah. Yep.
Boxing
for sure,
is,
yeah.
It's pretty intense.
I've never seen them sweat as much as they do from it.
That's a good thing. That's
yeah,
good
it's
thing.
Awesome.
So they're not playing video games.
No.
They're out, they're doing something physical, and they're learning a skill.
Yep.
What are some of the, you said confidence. I mean, kind of give me an example. I mean, from a confidence standpoint, what's the big improvement there? Can you give me an example on that?
My oldest son, he just seemed to not want to go to school as much, and now he's confident and loves it.
Do they look forward to going to these classes? Obviously.
Oh, definitely.
I'm sure, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yep. We didn't know if we could keep doing it with baseball, and I said, oh, maybe we should quit for a while, but they both keep on to go, and so we're busy, but they love it.
I know Cody is always so open to having people come down and check out the environment. The first time you saw the environment at Fearsome MMA and Fitness, what was your thoughts on it?
Oh, it's just totally awesome. There's all different ages and abilities of people, and there's all the people that do MMA with him, all the guys they help teach the classes, and it's just awesome.
Is it fair to say it's a family environment at Fearsome MMA and Fitness?
Yep, definitely.
Outside of the gym, when these kids see some of the coaches and when they see Cody, I mean, it's a coach. I mean,
that's
what it is. And the reason I bring this up is because when you coach baseball, you have kids that they want to be like Willie Mays, or they want to be, you know what I mean? They have their favorite baseball player. To you know, these teachers, to these guys in the world of MMA or the world of, this type of training, that's kind of their hero,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we went and watched Cody fight, and they both thought it was really awesome. They both want to start doing competitions and stuff now.
Okay, so I'm a parent, and I'm on the edge. I don't know. I don't know
definitely.
If I want my kid down there, so
definitely
convince me.
Yeah, it's definitely. It's awesome. You'll see your kid grow more than you can imagine. It's awesome.
More so than any other extracurricular activity. I'm sure it's different than other extracurricular
Oh, it's totally
activities.
Different, yeah. But, I mean, I think it's awesome as far as their confidence level. To me, it's totally worth it.
Let's bring Cody back in. Cody, as you hear a mom talk to you about the way her kids have evolved from a confidence standpoint, that's your main objective. I mean, we talked about the self-defense and all that, but at the end of the day, it's the confidence and it's the healthy lifestyle, right? I mean, that's the
For
main
sure.
objective.
That's what it's about. It's, kids compete. You know, there's medals. There's, you know, some of the kids won these cool swords last weekend and stuff, but medals come, medals go, the discipline you learn, the confidence that you learn, the self-respect that you learn, the way that you learn to take care of your body, respect others, show kindness towards others, and then be involved in a family environment in the gym that we have, that's what it's about.
Cody, if there's a parent out there who wants some more information or they want to look at what kind of classes are offered or where their kid would fit in, what's the best way to go about doing so?
Probably the best way to go about it is check out our Facebook page. We post daily information out there and different highlight videos and things like that. You can also find us, just come down to the gym, 1695 South Highway 10, or give me a call at 630-0848, and I can answer any of your questions that you have. You can follow us on Instagram at Fierce MMA as well.
I know we haven't talked much about this, but it's extremely affordable too.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, for sure. Our kids programs, it's $50 a month for unlimited classes. We do classes 4 days a week. Some of the kids actually are taking both of the classes, and they're also welcome to stay for some of the adult classes as they get older as well. But Monday and Wednesdays are our kids kickboxing classes, and Tuesdays and Thursdays are our kids jiu-jitsu classes. And so you're getting unlimited classes, 4 days a week throughout the month, or year round as well.
Now, if you want to go away from the class, and if we're not talking about kids, there's also plenty for the adults there as well. Last time you and I had a conversation, you'd mentioned 24 hours now to go in and lift.
Yes, we have 24-hour access for the fitness side, which comes along with multiple fitness classes. That's $40 monthly. Or if you sign a six-month contract, then it goes down to $30 per month. We also offer discounts for police, firefighters, first responders, teachers, and students. At $25 per month on the fitness side. We have 24-hour access. We've just brought in a ton of new equipment, new treadmills, rowers, glute ham developers, leg presses, and we're actually putting in a sauna this weekend. So we'll have a dry sauna out there, dry and wet sauna. Probably comfortably sit up to 15 people in that sauna. And so that'll be up and running here very shortly. So, I mean, it's like a world-class facility, man. We've invested a ton of money into just the equipment that people want to see. You know, I consistently asking our, our customers out there, you know, what do you need? You know, I'm here to help to see you reach your fitness goals. And if there's a piece of equipment that we don't have, let's get it, you know? And I feel that sauna is going to be a great addition to, for health benefits as well. And, you know, we just keep growing and growing and growing. And 24-hour access, so there's no excuse to, you know, for a schedule to not be able to get in there.
No, there's time now.
Exactly.
No question. Cody, I appreciate you stopping by and of course, bringing Mandy as well. Mandy, it was great to talk to you as well. So thank you guys.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, thank you, Jordan.
Again, that's Cody Bunderson along with Mandy Peterson as we talk a little Fierce MMA and fitness for children. Pretty cool deal. They got a great atmosphere down there. Fun conversation. We got a break for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up when we return here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
Hey, this is Stephen Curry from the Golden State Warriors, number 30. You listen to Drive Time Sports on KOAL 7:50 AM.
Back to close out this edition of the show. Like it when we get a lot of guests in here. We're going to continue on with the local sports front tomorrow. And, of course, there's plenty of national sports going on. Final Four. Who do you like in the Final Four?
I like Michigan and Villanova.
Villanova to win it, right?
And Villanova to win it.
I would agree with that, I think, at this stage in the game. I think Loyola can beat Michigan. I don't think that either of those teams can beat Villanova. Kansas-Villanova is basically the national championship game. I'm fine with saying that.
That's a great game on that side of the bracket. Though I'd like to see Loyola Chicago advance to the national championship game. I think it'd be awesome, but I just don't see them beating Michigan.
I think they can.
Yeah.
I think they can beat Michigan. I don't know that they will, but I definitely think they can. As far as Major League Baseball goes, now Steve and I gave our predictions. I got to hear it from you. AL East winner, who do you have?
The AL East winner?
Yeah.
The Yankees.
I'm with Steve. I'm going to go Red Sox.
Yeah, I like the Yankees.
All right, let's continue to move down. Who do you have winning the AL West?
I'm going with the Astros. Too much talent.
Too much talent on that Houston Astros squad,
yeah.
Right? I think the Angels are going to...
Angels will be a wild card team.
Angels are going to be a wild card team. I think they're the best defensive team in baseball, and I really don't think there's much argument to that. The AL Central.
I flip back and forth with this between Cleveland and Minnesota.
Yeah.
I will take Cleveland, although I think Minnesota has a chance to make the playoffs again.
All right. So you have Minnesota and the Angels in the wild card.
That's who I'm rolling with. Red Sox out.
Oof, I think Boston still. I think Boston could still win the AL East. I'm with Steve on this one. Let's go to the National League East. No brainer. Washington.
Washington.
You don't even need to waste time on that.
That division stinks.
The Central.
Central is the Cubs.
I think Milwaukee's going to give Chicago all they can handle this year.
I think so too. I just like the Cubs.
West.
Dodgers.
No contest.
The Dodgers will win that division.
Who's your wild card in the NL?
I'm going with the St. Louis Cardinals and the Milwaukee Brewers.
I think that's the consensus all the way around. I think that San Diego and Colorado can make a push.
I think Arizona can too.
Yeah, I think the West is a little bit deeper than people think. But at the end of the day, I agree with you. I'm going to take the Nationals out of the East. I'll take the Cubs out of the Central, Dodgers out of the West. Wild card spots, I'm fine with that. Milwaukee and St. Louis, I agree with you there. AL, NLCS, and your champions. Who do you have?
Cubs and Dodgers in the NLCS, and in the American League, I got Yankees, Astros.
World Series.
Rematch, Astros, Dodgers.
Winner.
Dodgers in seven.
See, I'm going to go with the Dodgers and the Brewers in the NLCS.
Good matchup.
I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that the Brewers can definitely get to that point. I don't think this team is done. I think they have the assets to make a few more moves, especially out in the outfield. I'm going to take the Brewers and the Dodgers in the NLCS. Dodgers get the win there. ALCS? Man, it's a tough one. Give me the Indians and the Strohs. Astros, Dodgers. I'm going to go with a rematch. Dodgers get the win. They're my World Series champs this year.
Mine too.
We'll talk more baseball in the coming days as well. First pitch gets thrown out early tomorrow. You know, it's the first time since 68 that all 30 teams have played on opening day?
Well, that's false because the Reds postponed their game just a few minutes ago. So their game is now moved to Friday.
Well, dang it.
So they moved, postponed 24 hours in advance. Good job, Cincinnati.
Man, we almost had history.
We did.
Stupid Reds. Thanks
the Reds.
A lot.
The Reds ruin everything.
And we only have 28 teams playing tomorrow. Now then, right?
Right.
We'll talk more baseball tomorrow. He's Travis Anderson. I'm Jordan Buscarini. Be safe. We are out.